This podcast is brought to you by Anchor. Anchor's a dope way to start a podcast. You don't have the equipment, that's fine, because with the Anchor app, you can record right off of your phone. You're worried about trying to distribute it? That's cool too. You don't have to worry about that because Anchor will distribute your podcast to major streaming platforms such as Spotify and Apple Music. So get started with Anchor. Get your voice out there. Hey, what's up? This is your host, Pete McCarvin, and join me as we explore the great unknowns. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Great Unknowns with me. I'm your host, Pete McCarvin, a.k.a. Petey Mac, your country cousin. On the show today, this is a good one for me because it's like a little brother of mine. Not just in the sense of the comedy world, but also in the Greek sense, fraternity sense, because this man is a member of Alpha Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, not just a member of Alpha Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, but my chapter of Alpha Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the Theta Delta chapter at the University of South Alabama in Mobile, Alabama. He is a native of Opelika, Alabama. Spring 2012 initiate of the Theta Delta chapter of Alpha Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. I actually had the opportunity of like sitting in on his intake process. I just thought he was just a jokester. I didn't know that he was going to like, he really wanted to be getting the comedy, the world of comedy. And from there, he has thrived. He's flourished. He's currently out of Chicago, Illinois, making big noise all over Chicago. Every time I look up, I'm always seeing a flyer on it. I'm always seeing video clips. I'm seeing skits. I want everybody to get it up for a good comedian partner of mine, a little brother of mine in terms of Greekness, Kadeem Fuller. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's good, bro? How you feeling, Pete? Good to see you.
Oh, man, I'm out here making it. Hey, man, before we get started, bro, hey, I'm extremely proud of you, man, because that talk we had, you took everything I told you and you just went forward with it. Like, bro, not only am I seeing you doing shows, producing shows, and just on shows and performing with some great stand-up acts, I've also had people I know who've been to Chicago or people I see from out of here who came from Chicago City in Chicago. And two things, I haven't met one who said they haven't heard of you or know you. And I haven't heard any bad things about you, man.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that for real. Yeah. I think stand-up comedy in general, show business, you want to make sure your name is clean. So whenever I have people coming in from out of town, especially if you vouch for them, oh, they good. So if any shows I got coming up, I definitely get them on. But, bro, that talk we had a couple years ago, man, I remember that. That was like my first year in Chicago, and that shit was beating me up, man, just trying to get through the scene, understand the scene. So I appreciate that conversation just because I need like a veteran comic just to talk through a lot of the stuff I was facing. So, bro, like, appreciate you 100% just that conversation in general.
Oh, no, man, that's what we do. That's, brother, you know Goodwill, the monarch of this house, man. Come on now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I ain't going to do you like that. But yeah, like I said, you said people came out, like my homegirl, Allison Fine, she came out there doing comedy and I forgot she was out there. Shit, I forgot Kadeem was out there. But y'all end up hooking up anyway. Mm-hmm. So, because she said I was on the show. So, oh, that's exactly what I was going to get you to hook up with. And then, like your boy, Trey Walker, I'm going to have to get him on this show one day too. He said he's from Chicago. And I said, yo, I got a guy out there I know. I said, you know, Kadeem, his face lit up. Kadeem Fuller? I'm like, oh, yeah, I said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I said, oh, yes, my dog, whoop de whoop de whoop. And I think you had mentioned, like, with the night me and him at the show, you said, hey, my boy out there, Trey, I said, oh, yeah, me and him just rocked the show.
So that's crazy.
It's a big game, but it's small at the same time.
Yeah, Trey's super funny. I think he was on a show I had a little bit in a suburb close to Chicago, like a couple, maybe like 6 months back. So that's when we started chopping it up. But good dude, too.
Yeah, he held at the improv, man. That's his bread and butter. He nice on stand-up, but improv, that man eating. He don't play no games with him on improv.
I feel like he started with improv, didn't he?
I think he did. I mean, I think that's what Allison told me. Allison said that he started off in the improv realm. So that's probably why it's good. But that's better because that helps you with your stage presence. You know, that helps you develop act outs and all that type of good shit. So I think it's, to me, I think it's better for somebody who's does improv to learn stand-up than it is for somebody who does stand-up to learn improv.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I mean, I'm trying to get into improv a little bit more because Chicago is like the birthplace of improv.
Oh, yeah.
So
you got Second City.
Yeah, Second City. Yeah. All the greats came from there, from Chicago. So it's definitely, it's one of the things like another just like tool kit in your belt or whatever, right? Just another skill to learn just because them act out, bro. Like we talked about that, right? So a lot of differences in audience. Between the South Side and the North Side, a lot of it is just that showmanship, being able to, you know, think on the fly, use those improv to act out. You know, we love that. Black folk love improv, just out in general, showmanship and shit, man.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. So, you said you're in Chicago. What actually brought you to Chicago? What made you move there after you graduated?
Yeah, so you know, I went to South Alabama. I graduated in 2015. I went straight to grad school. I was playing around. Like I didn't even do comedy at the time. Like I was just kind of funny. So with just a lot of my homeboys and friends. So, you know, I went to Champaign for grad school, still wasn't doing stand up. I was actually into like a lot of activist stuff. So before stand up, I was big into, you know, BLM and marching and all this shit.
Yeah,
you know,
I remember, man, that.
Like, yeah, back in 2016, 2017, like I was posting, everything was a movement back then. So it got to the point, so I got my degree. I got my master's in higher ed policy studies. So it got to the point where, I don't know, bro. I just felt like I was growing out of the activist scene, man. Like just through, like, I think when you do that type of shit, trauma and stuff like that, man, I was having dreams about, you know, getting shot by cops and stuff, man. I was actually in Oakland, like, couple years ago, right, when I was feeling that movement, I went to an activist little movement or whatever, right? They had like a march or whatever. So that's when I realized I wasn't on the same level as those activists, right? In Champaign, you know, we would protest and yell at the cops, but you know, they were throwing rocks at cops, right? Like just whole ass like baseball rocks. You know, I wanted to be involved, so I was just throwing pebbles, you feel me? Like little dirt just trying to get in there and shit, right? So after that point, I kind of realized, oh, this might not be, you know, what I really want to do. So I just had to think through, like, creative, like, stuff. Like, I tried bass guitar. I was actually chilling with a friend of mine, right? We were watching BET Awards, and I was just kind of just roasting, just doing different roasts about the different people they had up there. And she was like, you know, you should do stand-up. I was like, I never really thought of it. When she said that, I was like, let me see. And then, like, it took me 2 months to actually build up the courage to actually, you know, go through and actually do it. But when I do it, it was like a light bulb, bro. Like this is what I want to do. And I've just been rocking with it ever since.
When was the first time you hit the mic and where at?
2018, dog. Hit the mic 2018 at a spot in Champaign called Clark Bar. So it was me and one of my homies who's also his name is also Kadeem. So we were both doing stand-up. We met in grad school. So he was like, let's just try it. But yeah, man, I did like 3 minutes. I was supposed to do five, forgot half my set, but I got a good response. Right? I didn't bomb or anything. So I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And the people that were there, it was like a real community. It's super small. So it's almost like a hometown, like, you know, short little small little scene, but you know, they were really encouraging and motivating me to keep working on my act.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, so when did you have your first bomb and how did it make you feel?
When did I have my first bomb? So I bombed a few times in Champaign, but it was because it was small scene, it wasn't that bad. I can give you the worst bomb where I had to rethink everything, right?
All right.
It was actually a couple years ago during my it was an alpha show, right? I had an alpha show and I went, you know, I felt like I was prepared for it, man. I went in there, like, I knew, you know, as a comic, you know, you want to do, like, the first 7 seconds are important, but you really measure that first minute, right? Because, if you know, if they laugh with you the first minute, you can kind of carry that momentum on, bro. Like, 30 seconds in, not one laugh, right? 2 minutes in, not a laugh. So I was like, okay. Start sweating, you know, I start getting hot, bro. Like, nobody was laughing. I just started ad-libbing, just talking about folks' shirts, dog. It was, hey, I swear to God, I had to do like 15 minutes, 15 minutes straight of nothing. Like, I think 7 minutes in, I heard somebody say, hey, man, cut the mic. I was like, well, damn. ain't never cut the mic.
You said that was in Champaign?
That was in Chicago. So maybe
cause
like,
I'm about to say, hey, because you know Chicago, it could have been worse. Because what I expect when I hear Chicago, like Atlanta, Philly, and Detroit, you look and they say cut the mic because you know what they famous catchphrase, man. Nigga, kill yourself.
Yeah. I ain't got one of them kill yourselves yet, but
I've had them talking at the table. I've had people walk out. I've had people boo. Through the grace of God, since I've been doing this in 2010, I've never got a nigga kill yourself.
That's good.
Through the grace of God. Like I told people this, because people have asked me, and I know people probably ask me, do you hate when people boo? And I tell them, honestly, I don't mind when people boo. Them booing me, I heard what you say, just don't say that shit no more.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Them talking to yourself, like, bro, we ain't paying attention. We ain't paying attention to you. Somebody saying, nigga, kill yourself means this ain't for you. Because I'm honestly getting booed. It's like, all right, bro, we heard it. But nah, that ain't it, dog. That ain't it.
Not tonight. Right.
Not tonight. Try something else. But that right there ain't it. That mean they heard it and they received it.
Yeah. When they do the kill yourself, they heard it, received it, thought about it, and then realized this ain't the shit for you. End yourself. End it all. Like, man, that's different. That's different.
Well, then how did the frats treat you? It's just the alphabet. How did they treat you after that? Were they kind of like, yeah, bro, you fam, but stay your ass over there? Or did they embrace you? Like, it's okay, baby. We know it all happens to people. How did they?
It took a minute. So when my girl was there, and she was filming it. And, you know, she's seen me do well before. So it wasn't like if she was one of my new girls, it would have been rough. But, you know, she been with me for a little while at that point, right? So so I saw her. I knew it wasn't going well when she was recording, smiling. I saw her face, like, turn. And she started slowing, like, putting the mic down. Like, oh, Lord. She started putting their phone down. But the frat was cool. The frat was cool, man. They were They were telling her, hey, this is a rough night. So I was still talking to them. They were frats, so we would talk about stuff. But I had a lot of old heads. So the bomb turned into, you know, are you active? You know, are you got the money? What you doing, brother? AC? I'm like, I can't bomb and give you money to go to the meeting.
Exactly.
I can't do that.
That's crazy. But now you said is that the one who I just seen you post with for your anniversary?
Congrats
on that, bro. Cause I'm gonna tell you like this, hey man, if she ain't cheating on you, stealing money from you, harming your body, or doing property damage, work it out with that woman. Cause I'm in these streets, as you can see from my post. It ain't fun in these streets. It's hell off in these streets, dog. I can talk all this. I run these streets, and the streets are fun. They are, but bro, I got a lot of arrows in my back from being up out of here. I'm looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator 2 toward the end. Bro, I'm battle damaged, man. It is hard. So, hey, stay with that woman. Don't, whatever it is. If, like I said, if it ain't none of them several things I named, just say, I'm sorry, baby, I'm wrong, and let me go get you some wings. You know they all love wings. You can do satisfy anything with wings.
They love that shit. That's a good point, man. That's a good point. Anytime, yeah. I ain't getting nobody damaged. You know, no, nothing going on with my car. You know, she ain't cheating and taking my money. So I can't, you know, it's life is good out here, man. The streets is hard, bro. Like, I remember back in the day when I was doing that. I can't be you. Because it's different now, dog. Women, it's different now.
Oh, I trust me. I know. Because like I said, all y'all was giving me hell. I talked about this on the last episode with my partner, Marlon Ballard. Like, when I had post that little joint I was with, and all y'all were like, what the hell? Settle down?
I was excited. I was hard to pay. Oh, shit. Pete got one.
Everybody said that. Boy, you my fault, man. My hotline was bling like Drake. Like, who that is? Boy, how long y'all been kidding? Man, boy, she look good. Y'all look like, all right, come on, man. God damn. Like, I'm like, damn, I can't date nobody. But like, nah, boy, you hell on me. But like, my cousin Ty, he in the Navy, too. He called me from Japan.
Damn.
He was like, but he said, I was sitting there looking at my wife. All that shit he be talking. Look at him. Look at him sitting there. You know how they say in the down south, grinning like a Cheshire cat. I'm like, man, come on, dog. No, like,
too happy. You stop. He was eating sushi. He stopped eating sushi to call your ass.
Yeah, I know, right? But no. See, what it got me when I saw your anniversary post, I saw you didn't cut your dreads off. And I was like, because I already knew when I approached, I'm like, he going to get mad at you. I said, bro, you looking like another Kadeem. Now you like Kadeem Hardesty. I've been trying to avoid. I said, well, cutting your out ain't helping no damn better.
Bro, when I was growing up, that's how I heard your name, Kadeem. Like, Kadeem Hardison, like, nah, Kadeem Fuller. I'm different. Man, we two different people, man. But But yeah, I had to cut. I cut them like 2 weeks ago. Like, you know, I've had like this, like that was like my third set. So I just cut them when they get too long and just start over, honestly.
Wait, I didn't know that, but no, yeah. So if you were growing up, were you always the funny guy? Because I knew when I saw you, when I came in on y'all process, the few times I could, because I was working around the clocks, so I came and sat in, and you were like, had the little tidbit. And I'm going to ask you about that. Like, let's talk about that without, like, you know, divulging any, any, like, pertinent information that should stay within the Alpha House. But, like, I got to know the backstory. Because I'm like, because when you said that, and I was like, he funny as hell. I'm like, can somebody tell me the backstory? But everybody was just, you know, it was night. Everybody was pushing through. I'm like, I need to know the backstory. So that shit you said, because I still remember, was the gold times or must have been the gold times?
What is the backstory to that?
You can't, I never asked you in like the, what's a decade in the 10 years I've known you. I've never gotten that story. What is the story behind that? Because I'm like, because I was sitting there looking at me and the profiles. I was looking at other profiles, like, spelling my line, bro, like, the fuck is he talking about? What gold time? I said, I know I ain't one of the people that's not here, that should have been here, did what the fuck I think they did, with what he's talking about. But I need to get clarification. So what exactly happened? I think I know, but I need to hear this.
Got you. I got you. That was funny. I ain't thought about that in a minute. So during our process, right, we had another guy that was online, right, earlier on in the process. And the dude was like a photographer. So he would take pictures, different events. The dude apparently went to an Alpha event as a photographer. He had a gold tie on. So he had a gold bow tie. So he was taking pictures. So it was almost like he was saying, like, this is about to be me. So they gave him hell for that, man. So he ended up leaving after a couple of days just going through everything. So that was part of the skits that we had to do. Like, hey, what the other dude that, like, must have been the gold tie, couldn't make it.
Man, that's crazy.
Funny. They wrote, man.
So for anybody on here, like any young kids who in high school, freshman year of college, or if you are an older adult and you plan on doing the grad chapter, for what y'all wondering why, what's wrong with the gold tie, let me tell you something. Any organization you trying to join, you cannot wear their colors. You can't have their colors on. Cause they gonna be like, oh, so you pretty much, oh, you on my level, you can wear that. It's like, I'm gonna be honest, my homeboy, I had him on the second episode, Sonny Gillespie. He called us gangs. He said, oh, that's your little educated gang. I said, why you call us a gang? Which I got symbols, y'all got hand signals. He said, y'all got different chapter sets. He said, and don't y'all have to beat each other ass again? I said, you know what? I can't argue with your logic.
Yeah, people made that connection, dog. You know, for me, it was like, gee, like, we got beef with different organizations, so you got to fight when your homie fight. Like, it did for a minute. Like, golly, I'm rumbling. I feel like that. I might as well should have just stayed home. Just been a blood or some shit. God dang.
Yeah, because you know who my Trey was. And you know how he can get, especially when he inebriated. So it's many nights we done almost had to come from the shoulders with it. I'd be like, bro, come on. All I'm trying to do is chill tonight, dog. I don't hit the gym like you and Deuce do. I'm the skinniest and the smallest on it. All I'm trying to do is mack to the hoes and get drunk and have a good time. But it's like, he throw down, we throw down, which is the nickname for our chapter, Throw Down Theta Delta. Oh, wow. So it's like, God, Lee, I ain't trying to live up to the chapter name tonight. I ain't trying to throw down in the streets. I'm trying to throw down the bed with somebody's daughter or somebody's mama, because you know a couple of women had kids, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your trade was wild, dog. Still, even after you graduate, he was still around, like, finishing up his degree. G, like, I got kicked out of club because of him, man. They folded me like a press. I was like, man, he's doing that. They throwing me out like I was the one.
No, I remember it was one night, bro. It wasn't him, but me and him was there, and it was another. He was like, I think our grad advisor. He was getting a grad degree. And we outside the club, he didn't got drunk. We didn't have to bring him outside. Matter of fact, it was my graduation night. And it's a dude, he's sitting there, he just on the phone, because I think it was some Sigmas in there, but I knew a couple of them. And one of them came to me and said, hey, bro, I fuck with you tough. He said, this is why I'm telling you right now. He said, get your boy out of here. I said, why? Your boy talking real reckless. He said, me and the rest of the boys in blue, we finna give him that business. He said, I'm throwing you a bone. As a homeboy, get him out of here. So he outside, he talking. Now, that's a dude, he a GDI. For those who don't know, that's a goddamn individual. That's people who not agree. He just on the phone. He doesn't be cool with some of them people. He on the phone talking, and this dude, when I prep, but he started talking shit. So dude just mind it, bending for the white, said, "Hey, bro, who the fuck you talking to?" He said, "I'm talking." He said, "Nigga, you don't know me." And he started talking. The dude just looked at me and said, "Stay your bitch ass right here." Now, anybody who from, I don't know how they do on the West Coast, for real, because I ain't never been around. But if you from the South, and a man look at you about 5 to 10 seconds, like put whatever he's smoking out, or hang up his phone and then points to say, "Stay your bitch ass right there," and walks off calmly. You need to get your ass out of there, because he is going to go get a firearm, and he is going to run loose with that bitch. So I take off running. I take off running. Me, I told everybody, I said, "If y'all smart, y'all gonna get up out of here." So the dude hit me up the next day. I said, "We frat brothers and all." I said, "But bro, I ain't getting killed behind you, especially after I just graduated. I need to try to put this degree to use. I ain't gonna sit there all that money and time I done spent, and I'm dead. My mama gonna be mad. She gonna be mad because I'm dead. Lord, Hembers, all that money I done spent.
Being a captain.
I ain't never gonna get a turn on my investment.
She gonna be in the cabin. Wake up, nigga. Wake up. You got wake up. Hey, come on, man.
Come on, now go. Dang. Here's a job. Here's a job, kid. Come on now.
Yeah, dog. That's the way it is, dog. When they fight, and when he fight, we fight. That's how I be.
Yeah, that's crazy. So besides that, growing up, were you always kind of like the class clown? Like, how was your demeanor? How were you? Were you class clown? You just were known for roasting, or you just played the background?
I was the background, G. Like, I, growing up, I had a speech impediment, so I didn't talk at all, dog. Like, I was in speech classes up until, like, maybe third grade, so I had a twin brother, too. So, he was kind of like the mouth for both of us a lot of times growing up. So, it took me a long time to kind of break through with that, because I always felt like, you know, I was always nervous to talk just because of the history of being a kid not being able to talk. So, now, I think that's why I gravitated towards stand-up at some point, because it was like, you know, this is how I express myself when I'm with my homies and I'm feeling, you know, I'm feeling laughing and shit like that. So being able to do that on stage was something I never thought I would do, right? So, you know, and I got like I said, speech impediment. So my lisp and shit, right? So The wild part is when I'm on stage, I get distracted sometimes because I'm talking. And I see like the spit flying everywhere, G. Like, dang, I have some people in the front row. Like, this is you eating a Kadeem Caesar salad right now, G. But other than that, man, it's that's how I be. But you know, with that, like learning to just go through those things you go through. And I feel like stand-up gives me opportunity just to say what's on my mind unfiltered and say it in a funny way which I think people can appreciate all the time.
Yeah, I get it, because I got deep Southern accent. So, like, as out west, they'll do that. They'll warn us, "Hey, now, he kind of country, so he's going to be going kind of fast." So then when I get on stage and I say a certain word, they be like, "What?" I say, "He warned y'all about me before I got up here. I don't know what you sitting there being shocked for."
The country nigga.
He told y'all I was country. Why are you shocked? Or I say something, I'm like, I say a word, or I say a phrase that we use down south. They're like, "What?" I said, "I'm country." Did you not? I said, "Damn, you slow in school, weren't you?" I said, "You had to go to lunch at 10, didn't you?"
Early lunch.
You that one to be like, "Why they going to lunch at 10? I'm hungry now." Man, but so I get it.
Yeah, man.
I mean, but you have to face that that regional shit they always try to get people from down south when you first got to Chicago. You know, they like he a little country dude. He don't whoop the whoop. Because you know they love to try to do that to us. Like we don't know anything and we just been hiding under a rock or some shit.
It took a minute for like a first year or two when I was, you know, introduced myself to a lot of the scene, like, "Oh, you country, you know, you probably do this, you probably do that," ask me dumb questions, but now it's a part of my act, man. I embrace that shit. Like, I'm a country dude, I've been in the city, so now it's like, I can tell you about the South, but also, you know, I'm from the South, so some of this shit, the big city don't make sense to me, so I get a chance to kind of pick fun at that, but also talk about, like, you know, my country relatives, talk about, you know, racism in the South, so it's been a cool way, because I think I'm one of the only, I don't want to say I'm not the only Southern guy up here, but like I just really try to embrace that and make it a part of my act.
Yeah, I get it, cause out here's like that for me, cause like I think I'm like the only guy who's like legit from the South out here in Washington State. I mean, when this Tacoma, like Seattle, that I know of, and I had to embrace it, cause you know they got Mount Rainier out here. So I'm not gonna lie. One day I'm looking at Mount Rainier. I said, "That shit look a hell of a lot like the Paramount movie symbol." So I said this on stage one time. I said, I said, I'm not country. I didn't really think I was in country. I said, till one day I looked at Mount Rainier and I asked one of my partners from here, I said, hey, bro, don't tell nobody this, but is that where they got the Paramount movie soon from? He said, you about as country as shit.
That's country shit right now, Pete.
And then he said, it was funny, but then he started looking on his damn phone. Is Mount Rainier the Paramount movie? I said, see, that's what I'm talking about.
When you say it like that, like, it sounds crazy, but let me verify this shit.
But I said that on stage, I was at Nate Jackson's Super Funny Club, Comedy Club in Tacoma. I had just said, I'm going to try this. It was like a filler that I had between two jokes. And I put that in, man, the crowd ate that shit up. A part of me died inside. I said, oh my God, y'all think I'm a bum.
You gotta take it, though.
Like, I said, I had to take it, though. I said, it's a good laugh, but I said, I died a little bit on the inside. Just about a smidge, as my grandmama say. I died a little smidge on the inside.
And so was upset during that time, man.
Yeah. But I know you said activism. Do you try to put, like, BLM and power to the people shit in your set? I think I remember seeing one joke that you had filmed and you showed it to me. I'm like, ooh, that's some clever ass, right?
I still do that joke sometimes about, like, I think it's probably reparations and candy and stuff.
Yeah, that's
like
what
that.
It was.
Yeah, I don't, it's been hard, bro, because I'm trying to find, because, you know, I'm still like 4 years in, so it's a lot of it is just trying to find still after all this time, like, what you want your brand of comedy to be. So yeah. I'm still trying to interject all that shit in, but it's also like, man, I also got other stuff I'm trying to talk about, just being, you know, up here living in Chicago. So I do want to bring that back. As you can see, you know, it's always on my mind. Like, activism is always a part of it. But I want to do it more. I still got a few jokes, and I always try to bring a little spin on it. Like, because I feel like even when I was an activist, right, bro, like, I could yell at people, oh, this is wrong, using big words, anti-racism, systematic oppression, all this shit, which people, you know, don't listen to a lot of time. But I always figure with stand-up, like, bro, I can make a joke and say something, people think about it in a different way. So I'm not really, you know, yelling at them. But like, what our grandmas used to say, it's better to catch flies with honey rather than vinegar and shit. So it's always just, if it's not like the main part of my act, it's always kind of like in the undertone.
I get you. So what has been your best of your favorite moment since doing stand up thus far?
I got a few. I think the best moment was me was when I opened up for Tony Robb.
Ooh,
it was like a spot, like it was on the outskirts of Chicago, a spot called the Comedy Vault in Batavia. Had to be around about 300 people, and for me that's something you don't see every day. I know he's used to it, but you know, 300 people packed and being able to open for, you know, one of the greats that just been doing it consistently. And then just talking to him after. So I did 3 days with him, or three nights with him. And I learned so much just him talking to me about stand-up, longevity, you know, if I ever want to make the move to New York. So, like, just listen to him talk and knowing that, you know, he lived a lot of stuff that he talked about and just seeing one of the greats just work. Like, it was like a whole, like, pretty much a white room, and the way he got them to talk and not switching up his act, so no matter who was in the room, it was like a universal appeal to it. So that's something I really took away from him, and those act outs. That's something that, you know, you can't replicate. So I was just kind of watching and being a student of the game for, you know, that whole weekend.
All right, so what is the moment that you had since you've been doing stand-up that you knew, like, this is for me and I'm gonna push forward with it? I know I can push forward for this and I can make something pop with this.
I think my first show at the Laugh Factory, like, okay, World Famous Laugh Factory. Like, I was doing like DIY shows with maybe 20, 30, 40 people. But my first time at Laugh Factory had to be like I said, 300 people. And that moment, especially when it's almost like you graduate a little bit, right? When you get to do, you know, that many people, you know, some people do 1,000, 10,000, you know, Kevin Hart do what, 500,000. So yeah. I feel like every time you do that, it's like, okay, can this work for this group of people? So being able to go to Laugh Factory and just feel that nervousness, but still do my stuff and just still like be, reach that moment or be prepared for that moment, I just realized, oh, no matter the environment, I can do it. So it's almost like a confidence that I've been rocking for a couple of years since I've done the Laugh Factory. Now I have a show at the Laugh Factory, and, you know, doing my own independent shows. It's just, I love the producer side of things too. Not only being funny, but also, you know, building a way for other comics to, you know, build a crowd and just, you know, with the people that I have on my team.
Yeah. Well, you've hit a wicket that I haven't hit. I haven't performed at any Laugh Factory yet. So I'm looking forward to when I get back to San Diego, because I'm like, I got some people that I still know that's still in the game there, and I'm trying to lay the groundwork with one of the guys. Like, he hosts his own version of Chocolate Sundays at the San Diego Fresh guy named Walter Ford. Look him up. That man, hey, that man is booming and bucking out there in San Diego. He's doing now in San Diego what I wish I could have done during my first go round in San Diego between 2015 and 2017. Like, I'm just looking up. I'm like, oh, wow. I was like, oh, my goodness. I said, this dude is doing what I wish we had. He got, like, a lane for, like, black, you know, they try to say urban, but black comedy. And I'm like, damn, I said, because I had to hit him up and be like, dude, I don't know you. I said, but I was out there between this time. I said, bro, you the man. I said, you doing your thing, whoop de whoop. I said, I come back. I said, I hope to, like, whatever mics you got, I can get on them. And then you can see from there, and then you can just put me in your rotation. But that's, you know, that's good, bro. That's a wicket I haven't even hit yet. So what is your ultimate goal? Like, what do you want to be the end result from where you got comedy? Because I know you mentioned producing, and then you said something about New York. So, like, what is ultimately, like, do you want to get from the game? Like, what is the at the end of the day, you want your brand to be?
That's a good question, man. I want to say I want to do it all, man. Like, I love producing shows. I love being on shows. I enjoy hosting. I'm trying to get into improv, sketches. But I think for me, being in Chicago is like, I always like to look at it like almost like, you know, basketball, right? So, you know, a lot of those, the smaller spots that I started with, Champaign, a lot of local guys, like a lot of local talent, but not a lot of industry. I always look at that like, you know, the YMCA league, you know, no disrespect to those comics, but you can flourish there, but there's always going to be a ceiling, right? So, you know, when I left Champaign, I started in Chicago. And it took me years to kind of get to that point where I feel like I'm coming into my own. But at the same time, there's not as much industry. So I always kind of look at it as a G League. Even though you have some of the best comics that I think coming out of Chicago right now, all roads kind of lead to New York, because, you know, either L.A. or New York, right? Because, you know, people always say if you want to be really good at stand-up, you want to go to New York, right? Because that's where a lot of the industries are. That's where, you know, the biggest stand-ups are that are doing national touring and things like that. So it's almost like, you know, if you want to be a big shark, you got to swim with the sharks. And then vice versa in L.A., if you want to do stand-up and also, you know, movie deals and all these different things, there's a lot of scenes for that too. So I think now I'm still deciding when that move is, if I'm ready for that move. But ultimately, man, I want to be in a position where I'm making money off my craft. I think, you know, there is a part of me that wants the fame to be the number one comic and things like that. So that's up there. But bro, if I can just provide generational wealth of my family with my craft, being able to eat off my craft and do, you know, different, you know, movies, shows, you know, stand up, just entertainment in general. So that's my goal ultimately. Like, I'm starting an LLC soon. So just to kind of get into the business of stand up, and, you know, that's my ultimate goal.
Yeah, I feel you. I tell people that too, and they be like, man, and you want to be next Kevin. I said, bro, and honestly, I don't want to be next Kevin Hart, because I want to be able to walk down the street. That man can't walk down the street. And I told people my goal is, it used to be on the radio, but, you know, that's kind of like a dime walk. I said, so now I just want to be able to, like, hopefully this takes off and I can do this like how Joe Rogan and Joe Budden do, but it ain't gonna be that damn long. Like, I'm sorry, I can't sit there to no
2 hours.
I've never seen a whole Joe Rogan experience or heard a whole Joe Rogan experience episode. I just had to get the team, because I'm like, nah, this is, that's a sixth of your day gone. That's half a shift at work gone. I said, I like to do that, because radio is my first love. I said, but don't get it twisted now. If somebody gonna offer me millions of dollars to be in movies, be on Netflix and tour the world, I ain't gonna turn it down. Because seeing the world is one of the main reasons I joined the Navy, which they have not really fulfilled that part of the promise to me.
What you mean? Where you been? I feel like you've been to a lot of spots, bro.
I mean, I've been some places, but I ain't been, look, I ain't trying to make the bubble. My first deployment, I got to see, of all the places I've been, the only places worth seeing was Thailand and Singapore. And Bali. But Bali wasn't really all that good because I couldn't drink in Bali because some stupid ass on the other ship did something and they secured alcohol for all of them. Nobody could drink alcohol. We did it anyway. We did it anyway because the captain pretty much told us. He said, y'all can still go stay at the Hard Rock Cafe Hotel. And I was like, well, sir, the Hard Rock Cafe has room service, don't he? He said, that's correct, son. I'm like, so it's room service secured. That means we can't have it. He's like, no, you can still have room service. When he said that, I looked at my friends and let me talk to y'all. Basically, what he just told us, don't drink on the fucking street.
That's pretty much what he just told us.
He basically didn't say it because that's liable for him. I said, but he really just told us, I don't want to catch y'all drinking on the street. He said, I'd be stupid to think y'all not drink. He said, if you're going to drink, drink in your room. He really, basically, when he said that, I was like, and he looked at me, I was like, ah, sir. I said, yep. I told my boys, let me holler at y'all. I said, y'all didn't hear what he said. We just said, no, you heard it, but you didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't tell it. I explained it to him. Like, but I saw those three countries I saw on my first tour. My second tour, I got to go to Africa, but it ain't the beautiful Africa like we see in like movies. I went to the shit that come on at 3 o'clock in the morning to feed the children commercials.
Oh, you went to the, okay. You didn't go so to Johannesburg.
Pretty much, bro, I'm going to be honest with you. Mobile regional airport look way better than international airport. I bullshit you not.
Really?
I kid you not. Bro, when I stepped off the plane, I heard, in the eyes of the animal.
Got a bag of rice. You got to feed them now. What the
fuck? And then when you go out in town, you be in a van, boy, they be coming up there trying to get in there, be like begging for food. Boy, it's like Jurassic Park, how they stop and the T-Rex are looking and you had to look for, don't move. They just looking in there like...
Damn,
but I did get to go to Germany. It was pretty cool. But yeah, they ain't really show me. And this last deployment I went on, we couldn't go nowhere because of COVID. So I was like, I joined to see the world and y'all ain't living up to y'all promise. That's kind of why I joined, because I don't really like being on the water because I can't swim. And I don't like y'all uniforms. I either look like Popeye or I look like Cracker Jack, man. And this is not a sexy ass uniform.
Cracker Jack, man.
Yeah. I remember one time I took a picture and a girl I went to high school with had the blues on. That's what we actually call them Cracker Jack. That's the nickname for them. She said, if you had a little box of Cracker Jacks, a little dog, like with his tongue out, that you could be the new Cracker Jack. I said, ain't this so.
Disrespectful. I'm fighting for your ass. People,
and you don't feel bad until you walk by Marines in their uniform.
Because they got the blues.
Yeah. They got the sharpest uniform. You don't feel bad until you walk by them. Because I had the day I had to wear my blues. I'm like, I look good. I had a uniform inspection. They had to put the flag up, or color detail, as they call it. They walked by us, all of them in step, all of them sharp, precision moving. And I'm just sitting there like, all the girls was following them, like, oh my God, the Marines are putting it. They're sitting there, tongues. I'm just sitting there, like,
we out here too. We protecting too.
All I can say to them, that's why y'all going to battle first.
We chilling.
I'm just like, man, it was just that's so funny. Like, you. It's just like, yo, man, it's been enough about this, man. Whatever, I don't even talk, man. Boy.
But I will say this, Pete, if you ever fly to Chicago, bro, let me know. I can get you on Laugh Factory or any other show, bro. Just let me know dates and I got you. So
yeah, I need to come through Chicago because only thing I'm scared about going through Chicago, bro, because our boot camp is right there at Great Lakes, Illinois. And so 9 times out of 10, I'm about to fly through O'Hara. I got PTSD from flying into O'Hara.
Really? What's going on with O'Hara? Oh, okay, I got you.
I'm gonna tell you what happened a couple years ago. I went to visit my sister in DC when I was stationed in San Diego. So I'm coming through, and I, man, let me tell you something. You never forget being on that little, what is them things called? It's not Escalade, but they like little things you get on and they move for you.
What you're talking about. They're like fast, like ramps that make you go.
I don't know the names of it, but everybody, y'all know what I'm talking about. Anybody know, put it in the comment. So I remember getting on there, coming back, and I looked up. I said, oh, I remember this. And it was funny because it was a group of kids I saw coming forward. And they, because when you go, they put these name tapes on you. And they got little stickers on you with your name and all that whoop the whoop. And I saw how they was, and I saw all of them. And all I could do was just look over and smile. I'm like, I said, I know where y'all going. I know exactly where y'all going. I said, hey, I said, embrace the suck, baby, because I know where you're going. I said, I went four years ago. I know exactly where the fuck y'all finna go. I said, it's going to be all right. I said, it ain't bad like you think it is. I said, but get right when you hit that corner.
Damn.
You can tell who finna go tonight? Because I just saw them. They all were looking scared and unsure. So I got on there. I was thinking to myself, I ain't gonna fuck. I said, you know what? Fuck it. I smiled. I gave him a shitty grin. When I looked, I said, I know where y'all going. I said, y'all finna go to Great Mistakes, Illinois.
Great Mistakes.
That's what we call it, because it's Great Lakes, Illinois, but everybody call it Great Mistakes. That's the nickname for boot camp, is Great Mistakes. So we all, because like you, like it's a mistake. You're like, boy, this is the biggest mistake. A lot of people, when they get out, they say, boy, this was the biggest mistake of my life. So everybody call it Great Mistakes, Illinois. So
that's crazy. So is that the only boot camp? Does boot camp around the around
no, no,
the
no. Country? For the Navy, that's the only boot camp. Because because it used to have, we used to have three. It was that one, they had San Diego, and they had Orlando.
Okay.
Because I got some family members that's been at all of them. Some of them that went to Great Lakes. My oldest cousin, he went to San Diego, and a guy that used to work on base with my mom, because my mom works for the, she retired for the Department of the Navy, so I met a lot of vets. He went to Orlando, so I knew people who went to all three. But, you know, that's enough about this. We interviewed you, and this ain't about me.
Gotcha.
My fault, audit. So we was, you kind of ended with, like, how you wanted to where you wanted your brand goals, end up with your goals. So yeah. I think this is about time to wrap it up. Now, before I wrap any of my shows up, I got this game I call This or That. And it's something that pertains to specifically to my guests. So it's going to be like three questions I'm going to ask you pertaining to you. Well, first, since you're from Alabama, I'm going to ask you this. And I probably know this, which you've been over like a Roll Tide or War Eagle?
War Eagle. All day, bro. War Eagle. We Opelika is the next town over from Auburn. So that's
what I figured. I was like, I already know this, but I just got to ask War Eagle. I love, because you know Jamarcus, Jamarcus, he a diehard Roll Tide fan. So anytime they lose, I give him mail. Or just when he be going on about the Tide, I just like to bust in War Damn Eagle.
Eagle, baby. Yeah.
I love to do that. I just love to go in the room, because I'm a Florida State fan, and thank God we BLSU. I wasn't expecting that shit. But I love to just, when Alabama fans are talking, I just like to go in a room full of them and go, War Damn Eagle. And just to see
them like, a flizzy.
Yeah. It be looking like a scene from one of them movies where a black dude walking to a white dude, like, the hell, who let this nigga
in? What's going on? Yep. And J-Mark is King Bama, man. So we used to get on Twitter about it, like, especially during 2012 with Cam. But we had a moment, was it 2015 with
you know, old boy ran that 109 yard kick return back to y'all play Florida State?
Yeah. Ooh,
I could not get him on the phone. I called him all night, and I think we finally did on the phone. That I'm like, I kept calling. He said, man, fuck you. They like Florida State gonna beat him. And then when Florida State beat him a month later, I said, what's all that big boy shit you was talking? I said, who got the national title? Who's sitting at home watching it?
I hated Florida State, man. We were so close with that game.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't see y'all beating, because I thought Trey Mason Y'all running back at a time. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, that boy gonna eat. That boy gonna eat. I really thought, I said, Trey Mason gonna eat that defensive line. And I was like, oh shit, we won.
Yeah, that game was, man, I feel like that was the last, if I can remember right, Nick Marshall had, it was like one of the last drive, like that was like an open receiver he didn't hit. And so that kind of messed it up for
yeah, because it was like, line. Honestly, Kelvin Benjamin sealed the deal when he caught it for Florida State, but who really did y'all in, it was this boy, he was number 80 from Florida State. His name, last name was Green. I can't remember his first name. Man, he told y'all secondary up. He was just wide open. He had enough time to sit there, freak a black and mild, you know. I want to say roll a blunt, but you know, I got to, you know, I don't know who I did, but I'm just, and then two-year athletes, I don't want to mention it. Freak of black and mild, take three drags of, hey, I'm open. James Winston hit him, popped him.
Wow, man. That one was rough because Auburn always has suspect of secondary. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's our thing, at least. And we can just get some dependable back, please.
Yeah, I feel. All right, this next one, this going to deal with you been in Chicago, so South Side or West Side?
I lived in Bronzeville for a year, so that's the South Side. I like South Side better, man. Like South Side, I mean, you can go into deeper. You know, they got different chicken spots they beef over, whether it's Uncle Remus or Harold's. But South Side. You know, that's they got Hyde Park over there. A lot of affluent black folks over there, so. I got a lot of homies on the South Side, too. No shade to the West Side. I got some people over there, too. But
well, yeah, I know South Side is a bit better. I know some people. See, I know South Side, they get down, too. But you also hear, like you said, affluent people. Like, West Side, I don't hear nobody, but that should be the battleground.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different out there. Another comment, I forget the names about South. West Side, they ain't got trees. They ain't got trees. They ain't got grass. It's concrete. They ain't got nothing over there.
No, it's a dude I met out here. He from West Side. Chicago located, most mild-mannered guy that he is. And something had happened. He had to defend a female friend of his. Hit the dude. I'm talking about he bust this man shit open. And everybody was shocked. I'm like, the man is from West Side, Chicago. I said it calmly, like, he from West Side, Chicago. But I said, bro, just because somebody nice and tame don't mean they ain't from where they from.
Yeah, they can take it there.
Yeah, I said, hey, I said, cool as he is, he ain't cool just to be cool. He cool for a reason. That's a warning, like, hey, I'm like this because if I turn it the other way, it can go the other way.
Gonna be different. That's real.
Yeah, so, all right, and it's funny that you mentioned Harold's because that was going to be the last, or that's part of the last one I was going to say. Would you prefer a four-piece wing with mild sauce from Harold or an Italian beef dipped?
That's easy. That's Harold. That's Harold. I don't eat a lot. You know, I only eat chicken and fish now, man. I'm high. I'm elevated, brother.
What you like? What's that, like a pescatarian?
Yeah, something like that. Is it? It's yeah. I mean, because basically, yeah. Because pizza, yeah. I always call it a. I know you got a joke about it. Was it Episca?
It was a girl I was dating in San Diego. She tried to tell me that she was a Presbyterian. I said, baby, they do eat meat. She said, no, they don't the ones other than vegetables and stuff. They eat chicken. I said, baby, that's a pescatarian. I said, damn, if you're going to lie about it, at least know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, that's a funny joke. But
I ain't said that in a minute.
I always think about that. I think you told me that I've seen in the video. That always stuck with me. But definitely Harold. Harold's a mild sauce is cool. I almost got jumped when I was in Chicago, man. So I said mild sauce tastes like hot sauce and ketchup. And Southside, Chicago people in general, they don't fuck with their mild sauce. So I had to fight my way up out that thing.
Well, I'm gonna tell you this: if you ever go to DC and perform, don't say shit about their mambo sauce, cause they take that as serious as Chicago take. That mild sauce, but boy, because I ate at Harris, I never ate in Chicago, but they had one that opened up in Atlanta. I don't know if you ever been to Atlanta. I mean, if you familiar with Atlanta,
I've been a few. It's been a minute since I've been. I didn't know they had a Harris down there.
Yeah, they got one like on Edgewood. That's kind of like over there where Martin Luther King from, like right off Auburn Avenue, like in his old neighborhood. So I went and they said it was Harris. So I ate it, and I had said, "Man, this is good." but I need to talk to somebody from Chicago, see if it's authentic. So there's a comedian, real famous. His name is LeVar Walker. He was been on Shaq's. You've heard of him? I know you had heard of him.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I had talked to him.
Yeah, I know.
So I had talked to LeVar about it. And I said, hey, man, is that spot on Edgewood? Is that Harold's? Or they said, no. He said, bro. He said, that's got to be owned by somebody. He said, that's legit. That shit is legit. He said, you actually got Harold's check. And I'm like, no wonder y'all be talking about this shit. Like, it's the end all be all. That shit was good.
Harold's different out here, man.
I'm going to be honest with you. That was one of the last three meals. I can't remember the exact last meal, but I know for a fact that was one of the last three meals I ate before I went to boot camp.
Damn. That must have been good as hell.
Yeah, that shit was it.
Yeah, I thought it's been around in Atlanta for a minute. Have they branched off? It's just
they had that original one on Edgewood, and then I think they put one in Marietta, and they got one somewhere else. I don't know where the fuck that one's at. But I went to the, it's weird to say, the original one in Edgewood for you. But it's funny we were talking about the South Side because I had seen, like, you know, they got the Major League Baseball, they got them city jerseys that they doing where, like, it looks like, so they made, I seen when they were advertising for the White Sox, it had South Side, it was black, it had white pinstripe, it had South Side with the old English.
I seen them, yeah.
And the number they had on there was 74.
Damn.
I said, I put that up. I said, for the love of God, if you know what you know about Chicago, do not get this fucking jersey.
I don't know if I'm sure. What's the connection?
Okay, well, 7-4 is Gangsta Disciple. 7 for G, 4 for D. That's a 7-letter and alphabet and a 4-letter. So that's why I said, because I got to be careful. I ain't trying to end up like Rick Ross.
Yeah.
When he mentioned, I'm like, I mean, being up, I'm like, you and them boys come say, hey man, don't be putting King Hoover name in there. You ain't clear with us. But yeah, I know different. Because I come from a family full of them.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I got family members, well, all on some, but mainly I got a lot of family members that's part of that. I ain't gonna keep saying their name, you know. But when I saw that jersey, I put up on Facebook, I said, for anybody that wants this jersey, you better change that damn number.
It's a different, yeah. It's real out here.
Definitely, oh, I know. Guys, I went to, because I transferred to USA, so it's a lot of guys at Alcorn. I went to Alcorn State University with a lot of them from Chicago, because, you know, Chicago, a lot of their family from Mississippi, so that's how they find out about, man, the stories them boys told me about just having to get on the bus to go to school and how this had been this over there, that had been that over there. I'm like, good God.
It's different, man. Horror stories, man. Like, being from the South, like, especially where I'm from the dirt road, bro. All we had to do worry about some stray dogs and shit, man. We ain't got to worry about too much. Yeah.
And the way they talked about the Vidoc, I know you didn't talk about that Vidoc out there. The way they talk about the Vidoc, you would think that was somewhere in a dream on Nightmare on Elm Street with Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, it's, bro, it's a lot out here. But it's one of them cities, man. That's so much. I feel like there's a lot of good in this city. Same way with the bad, but it's a magical city, man. Like, this is one of my, you know, being from the South, like, the biggest city I've lived in since, you know, leaving. But just, I feel like I had to adapt, bro. I had my car broken into twice, you know, dealing with the cold, bro. Like, hey, everything. Had my catalytic converter stolen from me. So I've been through all type of shit in this city, man.
Yeah, I heard though, but I did it where you probably, since you attached, aka cuffed, you can't see it. But I've heard a lot, and I've seen them when they come. I heard Chicago got a lot of baddies too. I see quite a few. I've seen quite a few of them when I was in college, and I see a lot of them in the Navy. I'll be like, oh wow, I say, but they, and you got each weed, you gonna come with them. Them girls, woo them some woo lord. They, like, I work with one. We be going back and forth at all the time, and it'd be little like Maxine Shaw and Carl Barker on Living Single. Everybody like, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nah, bro, she too. I'm like, nah, that's that Chi-Town, and she too much to handle. I said, boy, I can't be with that girl.
Yeah, they got, man, they will shoot you up and spit you out, man. I've had some friends dating some Chicago women. Shout out to all the beautiful women, but you know,
yeah, don't incriminate yourself, Doc. That's a nice looking house, though. I don't want you to be sleeping on my house.
I got the door shut right now. She's gonna bark in. What you doing? What you talking about? She feel me. She got like Spider-Man. So who you talking about?
Yeah, because I am gonna post this, and she's gonna be like, so who these other women?
Cut this part out. Cut this out, Pete. Just clip it out, bro. We'll need this.
No, we ain't clipping this out. This is gonna run.
Oh shit, okay. I'll let you know how this turn out. Yeah, no, if I go miss
hey,
it,
man.
If I go,
look, the man has look before you come in, baby. This man has said nothing about how you just wonderful. He said the only person that can walk on water besides Jesus is you. He said he love you like a fat boy with diabetes. Love his insulin. He said all them great things about you. I'm just stoking the fire. Ain't nothing happening. That man ain't gonna leave you. And then before y'all do break up, do realize inflation and rent is hell. So you know, like I told him early on, if it ain't no violence, ain't no property damage, ain't no infidelity, ain't no money coming up missing, you better do like Jail Avert, baby. Hold on to me.
Hold on. Let me shout out my girl too, Andrew. She does a lot of She does stand up too, so that's how we kind of got connected. So you know, she's doing her own thing in the city. We got some projects and shows that we do together. So she's been that's my rock. So
what is that like dating another? I mean, I've never dated a female comic. I've been involved when I ain't never dated one. Do y'all get to roasting each other? Like, if it get like that, that what you want to talk about? Man, let me get on you, yo, man. But boy, I don't know you ain't talking. But, is she from Chicago?
She's from Tampa. So we,
she's from Florida. That's even worse.
Yeah, she got her own type of brand of crazy. But,
because like, she ain't like Haitian or Jamaican, is it?
Mm-mm. Oh, she ain't Jamaican.
Yeah, you died. I'm good on that. First experience dating them Haitians. Boy.
But it's cool, man. It's cool. Like, we do roast each other. You know, there's certain things that, you know, we don't talk about because then we're trying to cut deep. We're going to cut deep and, you know, somebody will get upset. But I think it's good because she comes to the show, they come to her show. So it's really like, okay, here's what you did. Here's what you could do. So it's almost like having another person in the audience who understands, at least they understand comedy, your brand of comedy. So it's almost like having a partner, like, because, like, especially growing, I mean, just being in comedy, you give so much to it. If you're not a stand-up, like, you don't realize just how much you have to give day in and day out. Yeah. It's hard to maintain a relationship. So with her knowing what I do and how I do stand-up, she understands a little bit more than, you know, a regular person. Or why can't you see me? I got a show. I got a mic, all that stuff. So it's been she's been a rock for real.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because at least when y'all roast, y'all know what it is, because, you know, girls be like dating a chick who don't do stand-up. They'll try to get at you like, oh, you trying to get old because I'm a comedian. I'm like, you want to go here? Want to do that? I'm like, I ain't going to do it to you. But then when I do roast, see, that's you being a comedian, thinking every fucking thing is funny. That wasn't funny. I didn't have to say all that. And you wasn't, matter of fact, speaking of funny, you wasn't even all that funny yesterday. I don't even know how them people, they were laughing because they felt sorry for you, because I didn't think that was funny.
Yep. Like, the whole thing. Like, I thought I'd be good. Like, man, what you talking about?
I don't know why the people laughing, because you weren't that funny and you stuttered doing that third joke you told and you missed a word.
Yeah.
I'm like, golly. I said, see, this is why I told you, go on, leave me alone, man, because I knew if I said something, and you don't have to deal with this, but I'm saying dealing with this. If they go somewhere and they try to be funny, I'm like, look, I'm going to come around my comedy partner now. Don't be trying to talk that shit like you talking to me. I said, because they ain't me. They ain't messing with you. They ain't gonna let up and be bad. They get their feelings hurt. And then one of them, you'll be trying to hold back. Like, Then one of them hit it with their good roast. She said, no. Oh, so that's funny. That's funny. Oh, that's hilarious to you.
So you in trouble now.
No. It's like I said, I'm gonna tell you one incident I had, and then I'm gonna go and get up out of here. So, like I said, the Haitian chick I used to date, this is when I was working in Atlanta. She was like, she was a junior at Clark and all that, and we met at our job. So it's after one show, and I'm sitting there talking, and my boy trying to talk to me about another show. And he was like, hey, baby, look, he already have a hard time, folks. I need to talk to him about something important. Go on, pull away. Now, he kind of pudgy. She like, boy, you don't get your fat ass out of here. Nah, da, da, da. Now, she had like a little like mustache, but I never said nothing until we went back and forth. Rose, I'm like, that's not going to be funny. It's so I'm sitting there smoking a cigarette. And I didn't like in here. He said, girl, if you don't get out and go shave that mustache, it caught me in my throat, came out. I'm in tears laughing. And I laughed so hard. And I'm laughing. I'm laughing. I'm laughing. And I know she's like, I'm gonna open the car so I go get it. So I'm sitting there trying to lay the inevitable for the whole night. I'm talking about she just looking at me out the car, just
she on, bro.
So I just already knew when I got in the car, I'm like, man, I'm gonna catch hell, but I don't care. So I'm trying to get back right now and laugh. And I did the best I could. I got in the car. I just put the key in the ignition. She gonna look. Oh, so that was funny to you what he said, huh? That's hilarious. And my dumb ass, I'm gonna say this. I said, baby man, fuck what he talking about. I said, I like your mustache. It tickles when we kiss.
Oh, I got that. You say that, man. Why you say that?
She didn't say nothing. She just stared straight ahead the whole night. So I gave her like 2 days to calm down. But I just put on speakerphone because I was like getting out the shower. I was shaving and I was getting drunk. I said, she been on low. I said, yeah, hello. You man! I was just sitting there like, but I had to throw in the cage. But baby, but honey, you get sweet. Baby, my. No. I'm doing it. I'm like, but baby, you got. Little short ass.
Yeah, they don't like that. They don't like that mustache shit, Pete. And you struck him flame to the fire. I tried
to do it as best I could. But when dude said it, I was like, who? Because I've been thinking it.
He said it. That's what good comedy is. I was something, somebody it, say it.
Yo, he said it because I was like, when he said, I'm like, oh, no. Because, like, he was getting it all night. He was stinging them. And I'm just, like, pinching my leg. I'm thinking about the death of my grandma and trying to not to laugh. I'm thinking about whatever they're saying. I'm thinking about what G-Baby got shot over hardball. I'm thinking, oh, I can't. Let me think about something that's not. But when he let that one loose, I'm like, I can't hold this one back.
That's rough, man. But yeah, well, I mean, she didn't end it because of that. So that's good, I guess. So, you know, wasn't that bad enough to mess up on that part?
That girl was crazy as hell, man.
You said she was Haitian?
Haitian, yeah. Well, let me know that I'm gonna say this before I get up out. Well, let me know that I'm like, yeah, I gotta go and get away from y'all. And this is culturally insensitive of me. When I did, she said, all right, you make me mad. I said, what you gonna do? She gonna put some voodoo on me? Said, I don't practice voodoo, it's religious, but I do know somebody who can put it on your stupid ass, and I will call them tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, I'm gone. Yeah, I'm gone. Get up out of here.
Yeah, voodoo. I don't mess with that voodoo.
Voodoo. Nah. Yeah. But no, man. Hey, bro, it was good talking to you, man. It's been a while, but like, man, hey, once again, thank you for rocking, man. Once again, bro, extremely proud of you. Continue to take no prisoners, man.
I appreciate you, Pete. Appreciate you having me on your platform. Yeah,
No worries.
Just talking with you.
Yeah. So, give the people all your social media handles, and like, if you got anything in the future, let people know. And share the episode, because every one of my guests act like they can't share this shit when I put it out.
I got you. I'm sharing. Yeah. That's podcast, man. That's good content. Yeah. So you can see me on Instagram, Full of Comedy, FULLA Comedy. Again, Full of Comedy. I am on Facebook. Just go to Kadeem Fuller. Also, I have a show at Laugh Factory Chicago called Stand the Heat. I have a DIY show called Chronic Laughs. It's a 420 friendly show. We got a whole bus that you can smoke in. So we do that every month. We do Stand the Heat every month. So just follow me on my social, you'll get all that information.
All right, bro. Well, we about to get up out of here, man. Appreciate you for rocking with me. But before we get out of here, 1-9-0-6. Yeah, we out, baby.
Take care, Pete.
Take care, bro.